We're all in here this morning. Call this family worship with the kiddos and older all in here. If you need something to fidget with, you've heard before, there's some stuff in the foyer you can fidget with. Or at least there used to be. I think it's still back there. One thing to fidget with is your Bible. So if you have your device or your Bible book, then 1 John. John's first epistle. It's towards the back there by Revelation. And chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and the first three verses. We've been off and on working our way through John's epistle. And if you, I do different Bible studies throughout the week. And so like we'll do one of Paul's letters. And we were joking this week about Paul's letters. You can kind of tell them, they have a certain thing about them, and that is, he doesn't like to end his sentences. He just likes to keep adding to them, and he has these gigantic run-on sentences that your grammar teacher would have a fit with. The writer of Hebrews, his sentences are a little shorter. We're not sure what was going on there. Then you get to John, and John, he writes different as well. It's not so much about his sentence structure there as his thoughts just kind of keep interweaving. It's like a river going across the Great Plains. It comes apart and comes back together and just kind of braids its way along in a slow fashion to give us plenty of time to meditate on the big themes of what he has for us. And we're going to touch on one of the big ones of John's life. He's often in his early years was known as the Son of Thunder, but in his later years, we knew him as the Apostle of Love. And he's going to give us some thoughts on that this morning. And so if you found it, 1 John chapter 3, would you stand out of respect for God's Word as we read verses 1 through 3? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Let's pause for prayer. Father, we ask that You move Your Holy Spirit within us and amongst us, Lord, to teach us as we look here at Your Word that You gave through the Apostle John, that we might be reminded of things that we know, but I know I need the reminders often. And so, Lord, guide my words, guide my thoughts to accurately teach Your Word as we worship together in prayer, in singing, and now by taking heed to Your Word, and later in fellowship. We love You and we need You. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee. Forgive us for looking to other things to find that rest. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You got to like it when the first word is behold. Look. Take notice. Consider this. Behold. You know, if we understand the story of the scriptures properly there in the Gospels, the word behold is one that would stand out to the Apostle John, because another guy by the name of John is recorded as starting one of the most profound proclamations with that word. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so John, the Apostle, says, behold, what manner of love, what magnitude of love that has been lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And as I considered this passage for the message, that proclamation in itself is more than enough. That the love of God poured out on us. Because so we start from the love of the Father. And His love for us, we are told, started before the foundations of the earth. Before He spoke the first star into existence, before He said, "Let there be light," He had already determined His love for us. And we unpacked that a little bit last week in that idea that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Son who was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. So before Adam rebelled against God, with His eyes wide open by eating the forbidden fruit, God already knew that was going to happen and already had the plan of salvation in place. And that may struggle, that may be a struggle for you. It's like, why would God allow that to happen if He's so sovereign and has all this planned out? Why would He do that? Because God, we are told, is so much smarter than we are. He knows how to bring those things that are bad together for good. There are things that we would not ever know about God if He hadn't done it the way He has done it. So I'm going to be the philosopher for just a second here and just kind of tweeze out that idea for you. We would never understand the forgiveness of God if we hadn't sinned. The magnitude of God's forgiveness is one of the things we sing about. His amazing grace, of which a part of His grace is His forgiveness. And we wouldn't have an inkling about it if He had not allowed sin to come into this earth. We would never know the magnitude of His love for unlovable creation. I mean, already the gap between Creator and creation is so great that there is no finite way to bridge that. That's why God Himself had to be the one to come bridge that gap. But then creation fell. And so imagine the gap even greater by their sin, our sin. And yet He still loves us. We wouldn't understand that kind of love if He hadn't allowed us to sin. And so the pain we feel, the hurt, the death that is so wrong, those are things that are revealing God. We wouldn't understand the magnitude of His wisdom and how He can work things together. We don't even understand that now, but one day when we're before the throne and all of eternity is before us, that's going to be one of the things that occupies us for all of eternity, is seeing the width, the breadth of His wisdom and how He wove all this together seamlessly before He even spoke it into existence. He knew how it was all going to end and how to make it all work right. It boggles the mind. But staying on task here for just coming back to the love of God. So behold what manner of love. And I used this verse last week. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you need a humbling experience, go back to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In chapter 2, he spells out all the ways that we are sinners, enemies of God. Amen. That by nature we are children of wrath. Not just destined, not just doomed, but deserving of His wrath because of the wickedness of our rebellion, my rebellion against him. And yet he chose to love, to in pity take us to himself. You want to get into the squirmy sections of the scriptures, you know, go through Isaiah and Ezekiel and Hosea. And when God starts describing his people as he has had seen them, I use past tense there on purpose, because in his love, he still had compassion on them and clothes us unto himself. In compassion, kindness, and love, mercy, grace. And John is pulling on that string in the tapestry of Scripture when he says the not just the manner, but the immensity of the love God has for us. And John, even in himself, you know, this isn't just something that's theological for the Apostle John. He knew his own sin better than we do. But by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we get glimpses of it in the gospel records. When he asked Jesus, can we call down fire on these people? They weren't nice to us. You don't know what manner of people, what manner of we are, this kingdom or anything. And yet Jesus compassionately loved. This is the disciple that Jesus loved. And you know, he thought about those occasions and others when he thought about, I can't believe Jesus graciously just kept discipling us. Simple fishermen who maybe like us, a little slow on the uptake sometimes in the lessons that Jesus gave. But most significant in that he continued to love. And so he says, what manner of love the Father has lavished, has given unto us. Because the truth is, we need reminders of that. You know, it's easy to go through the day and think nobody loves us, nobody cares. Life is hard, and life is hard. And there's a lot of times nobody cares, except God cares. Casting all of our cares upon him, for he cares for you. That there's times when it feels like, it just feels lonely. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's a good promise, isn't it? And so, I need those kind of reminders. John apparently believes we need those kind of reminders. And so, how do we remind ourselves of these things? Well, I think there's a lot of ways we can remind ourselves of those things. It's daily time in God's Word. You know, I start my day, I've got this book. It was a gift. I haven't made it all the way through it yet, but it's a daily devotional, so you wouldn't expect me to finish it ahead of time. But it's New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp. But each day, I, as much as possible, start my day with it. Just a little reading there. But he takes the time to send me to grace more than anything else. Remind me of my sin and how much God is still at work as a loving Father to me. And I'll be honest with you. I was honest with my small group. And we're a small group today, so you can be my small group today as well. But I didn't get any other Bible reading done yesterday except for a little bit of sermon prep because it was too long of a crazy day. But I did get that, my little New Morning Mercies reminder at the first thing. And then at the end of the day, I re-looked over the sermon and sermon notes before going to bed. That was my Bible reading. And I felt it. I missed having some of that time with God. You know, just to more than just the quick snatch of prayer or a Christian song as I'm driving or, a brief conversation with someone on the things of God. I had those yesterday, but it's not the same as just sitting down and spending time with my Father. Do you know what I mean? And if not, I hope you do get to know that better, to have that time, because we need those reminders. Because I can forget like that. Attention span, super short. Nat's got me beat. They can stay locked in for way longer than I can. But I need the reminders. A love that takes me at my worst. You know, a love that knows me fully and openly. He knows, you know, I can put on a decent show at least for an hour or so. Maybe, maybe not. But anyways, I think I can put on a decent show and seem righteous for at least a little while. But God knows what's going on the inside. He knows what's in my mind. He knows what's in my heart. He knows why I do the good that I might do. And maybe not for such good reasons as that. He takes us at our worst. But what a loving Father does, He doesn't leave us there in our worst. He's come to continue to love us. And that's where kind of leads us into this next thing here, that we should be called the children of God. The world does not know us because it did not know Him. The world doesn't understand that. And you probably don't need reminded of that. You know, you kind of don't blend in with the rest of the world, right? Maybe even before you were saved, you didn't blend in with the rest of the world. But now that you're saved, you're really different then. At least should be. Because the world didn't know Christ. If you need a quick reminder, look at John's Gospel. I'm going to flip over there real quick to chapter 1. Just because it kind of gives us this reminder. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Then he goes and talks about John the Baptist for a little bit. And then he says, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That was the experience of our Savior, of the Christ. He made the world, and they didn't recognize Him as Creator. He came to His own who knew of His coming and had been praying for His coming. And when He got there, they didn't recognize Him as such, not as the general whole. Rejected, rejected, rejected. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So as children of God, we were born. Born from above is born again. But something that God worked within us. Giving us a new heart. Eternal life, His Holy Spirit. And the world doesn't have that. They don't understand it. And so there'll be two reactions. The more we're like Christ, there'll be two reactions, the same way there was to Him. Either they will be drawn to the light, or they will reject the light. They will be drawn to the light, maybe the hope, as Peter described it, the hope that lies within you. Because we are a people who should have hope, because we do have hope, whether you believe you have hope or not. And I love that, what was it, an hour and a half ago, I texted one of our young people that just a funny little line, and his comeback was, "We have hope." And whether he understood the significance of that or not, which I think he did, we have hope in Christ. There's always hope there. We need that. And we need that from one another. And the world, there are people out there, they may not want Christ yet together there, but you'll see them. They'll be your friend because you've got hope. A hope that, and a peace that passes understanding. And so keep sharing that love, the truth, the light with them. And pray the Lord keeps drawing. Because the other reaction isn't better, it's worse. That's the rejection. The rejection may be passive and just apathy, but in some cases you know some that they're antagonistic. And in our culture, it's becoming more common for people to be antagonistic to the things of Christ. And they would do the same to him if they could. And so he says, and this is where I'm going to tie it back to the first thought. That's why we need those reminders of Christ, of the Father's love for us. Because if what we see around us is rejection, it's easy to forget the love that is ours. The love that is ours and is unconditional. It's unfading. It is relentless. Because what they don't know they're missing out on. And at the same time, I think a lot of us live in that place where if people only knew us, they wouldn't like us either. But God does fully know us and still loves us. Warts and all, scars and all, God truly loves us anyways. And so it is tremendous grace that we should be called the children of God. And by Christ, through faith in his shed blood, we've been adopted into this family. Amen. Amen is right. We are the children of God. And he says, you know what? The world's not the only one that's in the dark. We don't know yet all that's in store for us who are the children of God. It has not yet been revealed. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. There's more yet to be revealed. There's more to realize. But we do know this much. There is better ahead than there is here. And see how that goes back to what we were talking about last week when he was telling us, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. There's so much better ahead, and it's worth it. You know, there's an old song, it's probably in the Big Red Book. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. And it goes on, and I wished I had thought of this because I would have found it and read it for you. So there's your homework. Look through the Big Red Book. Fine. I'd rather have Jesus. Because I have a memory as a kid. My mom was a Graham. Now, she technically wasn't related to Billy Graham, but she still called him Uncle Billy. We would sit down and we would watch the Billy Graham Crusade. And George Beverly Shea would come up there before Billy Graham would preach, and he would sing this song. I'm dating myself. You're like, who's Billy Graham?
Sure are.
But yeah, Gene and I know who I'm talking about. But he would get up there and he not only had the voice, but he had the heart. And you knew that whatever this world would offer him, he would rather have Jesus. And that saint is now seeing Jesus. I don't doubt. And he would tell us it's worth it. The same as John would tell us, it is worth it. Because in him, I have so much more. We have so much more. We are so much more in Christ. I mean, think about that day on the Mount Sinai. Moses said, I want to see you. But he wasn't allowed to see God face to face that day. But in Christ, he did. There on the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory, the majesty. There is Moses and Elijah seeing him. And so John, who was an eyewitness of that event, no doubt is thinking, and that is not fully revealing what we shall be, much less who Christ is. There's more and better still. But he says, we shall see him as he is. And I think that's, when you think about the old apostle who had experienced walking with Jesus from the days that Jesus was baptized all the way through the cross, the resurrection. He's the first one to arrive at the empty tomb after the women said, the tomb is empty. Go check it out. And he outran Peter, looked in, and then Peter came blasting, came right on in. But, that's Peter. But he saw, and they knew something was up. And then to see Jesus resurrected and 40 days walk with him, and to see him ascend into the heavens, to be seated at the right hand of the Father, and then to have the awesome experience of having Jesus revealed again later in his life, decades later, and to record for us what he saw, those 22 chapters of visions that John had, a revealing of Jesus Christ. And yet, John says, what I look at is not what is behind. I look forward to that day when I will see Jesus. So we should have that hope. And I think many of us do yearn for that day. And so here's what we're to do in the meantime. Verse 3, he says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. I don't do it of myself, but it's the same as the Apostle Paul said, we're looking into the Word. And as I look at Christ through the Word, I am transformed more into His image by faith and obedience to His Word. John says, as we look at Him and have this hope in Him, that's what's taking place. Becoming pure, becoming righteous. He said there at the last verse of chapter 2, 29, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. That righteousness. Because the reality is that not only has God called us to be Christ-like, but God has ordained that we would have the family resemblance as the children of God. And so, it's a process. There are some parts of the family resemblance that, as a Harris, I was born with it. It just was all over me. If you see some of them, you'll pick it out. You'll see parts of my mom's family, the Grahams. You'll see part of the Harrises. And then there's other parts that as I've lived with them, that they just rubbed off on me. And Brother David's smirking because he knows some of my family. And but it just kind of rubs off. But shouldn't that be all the more true within the family of God? The more we're around each other, the more we rub off on one another. There's some things we're going to have in common just because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And there's other parts of it that the more we're around each other, we just kind of rub off in each other. And that's a good thing. Because some of those things were sharp edges that needed rubbed off. That's why He puts us together in the family of God. As He rubs off the sharp and rough edges, we're transformed more into the image of His Son. And so this morning, as the Holy Spirit has worked, there may be some things that we need to respond to. And maybe just simply to worship. But if Mason and Miss Holly and the band would come, we're going to have a song of invitation so that you can have a few minutes here to respond as the Holy Spirit is prompting right now. I want you guys to have that chance. It's a response that's supposed to last beyond the next few minutes. But sometimes we got to make the choice now to get started in that direction. And so would you stand? They're going to lead us in a song. You can sing with them, or you can just quietly do business with God. You can come to the altars if you desire, or where you stand. But let us respond as the Holy Spirit prompts this morning.